Hey everyone, welcome back to Creator's Playbook, where we're here to inspire creativity, motivate people to write, and maybe show you through a couple of tricks on how to write stories or something. I don't know. I really got to write something down so they say the same thing every time. But hey, guys, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we have a very special guest. I am so excited to have her here with us today to share us her wisdom, her experience. Sharon T. Mastin, who goes by Tiffany M. Reese, that's her pen name, who is both an author and a homemaker. Sharon, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I cannot tell you, I've been looking forward to this all year. Because I knew we were going to interview at some point, and then finally I sprung it on you and you said yes. So thank you so much. But yeah, let's go ahead and roll that music and we'll get right into it. Sharon, wow, you've been writing for a while now. I've read two of your books. I'm reading through this current book, and this is such a big moment. But before we get into the full thing here, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Sharon?
Oh, well, I have always been very artistic and creatively minded since I was very little. I've always wanted to go on big adventures, and I've been enjoying all sorts of arts between ceramics I did in high school. I've done art classes. I've been writing and creative writing classes through my earlier years. And then I keep busy. I do sewing. I do sports and homemaking and play with my children. And it's all fun. Life is a beautiful adventure.
Well, it's odd. But you've listed so many things that you do. And I'm like, I can do like two things a day. Now, that is amazing, Sharon. Holy cow. As I've gotten to know you, artistry has definitely been a big part of your life, all forms of creativity. I can't help but think of a story that both you and Lindsay have shared with me when it comes to you as the adventurer. You had mentioned to me forever ago how you had found like a piece of a car and you brought it all the way home.
A tractor axle.
You found a tractor axle.
I didn't really find it. I took it apart. There was this old farmer field and a big tractor that just sat there year after year, untouched. So I figured he's not going to mix the axle. So I took it apart and I hauled it back and over the 10-foot stone fence that we had and put it into my little dugout hole that I had decided was a rocket ship and it was going to be my steering wheel.
Wait, how... So was this someone else's and you just took it?
I did. Oh, no. Granted, I was like 10 years old.
Wow. And he climbed over the 10-foot fence? The fence?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing. Truly a gift. No greater treasure has been found in farming equipment than what you pulled from that derelict device vehicle.
Tractor.
So, wow, yeah, adventure. You lived it and now you're telling it. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about first. You know, when you and I chatted, we talked about this huge moment in your life when you started telling stories. And I'm going to be honest, in this episode, I was planning to, you know, cover that to a degree, but it really emphasizes a lot of what writing was to you and has been to you for your whole life. And so I was hoping you would paint us that scene, you know, what was going through your head, what was happening when you actually decided to first start writing. So how did that all start?
Well, everything kind of stemmed from artistry. Me and my sisters, we all drew and sketched and I started just drawing these really fun characters and imagining these stories that they had that hadn't been told before. And those evolved into like, oh, I've got these friends and they hang out together. They do this. They're on this planet and they deal with these kind of villainous monster things. And that turned into my first series, which I haven't actually rewritten that one yet because I know it needs a lot more work. But it is my first series called Ezros. And that one will be probably down the road, down the road. But
is Ezros, is that part of the same universe or is it a totally different
story? It's a totally different series. It's sci-fi.
Oh, ooh, and, that's my, yes.
Yes. And it'll take a lot more work because most of what I had written down was dialogue. I missed putting in all of the detail because I had the detail in my mind. I knew what it looked like, but I had not understood at that early point how to describe it yet. So I have all of that waiting on the shelf, but it started to change into this desire to tell these stories of these characters that I was drawing. And when I hit ninth grade and I had finished up that sci-fi series of the Ezros, and I wanted a new adventure and I wanted it to have kind of a medieval post-tech era feel. And so that's what I did. I created these characters, which are now in this book coming out. And the story started from a dream. This I'll have this desire to write a certain type of thing. And then one night I'll have a very vivid dream with a scene. And it'll replay over and over until my character gets it right. And then when I wake up the next morning, and if it feels right, like that is the story, that's the start, then I'll write it down and it begins.
I am always amazed at where ideas come from for different people. I have a friend too, who all of his ideas generally, well, not all of them, but a good chunk of them came from dreams that he's had, and he always writes them down. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. For me, it usually comes from an image. I wrote out an entire first chapter to a book that was based off of this scene of a cage that I saw in a graveyard. And I thought, what an interesting thing, a cage in a graveyard. What would be inside that cage? And I came up with this really weird, wacky universe that one day I'll go into full details about when I'm prepared to do so. But it was interesting because, like, for me, I found that's where a lot of my ideas come from. And it's different for everybody, you know? And I know for you, it's not always dreams, but the fact that it can come from a dream and you can turn it into books that you're about to publish says a lot on where idea genesis can happen and start. It's so powerful. I remember you telling me the moment you started writing this, which I think was at school, wasn't it?
Yes, it was while I was a TA in the office. I'd finished all of the work that they had for me to do that day. And then I would sit down with a little notebook, and it was my specific writing notebook. And I would be writing out the stories in there. And then after school, I would go home and I'd type it up.
That is so cool. You told me that there was a very specific reason you had started writing this story. I remember you saying how when you started writing this story, you were kind of going through a big transition in your life. And this story, this writing kind of helped you get through that transition.
I had flip-flopped back and forth between public school and private school. I went to public school from kindergarten to fourth grade, and then switched into private school in fifth grade and was there until eighth grade. Now, I made really good friends in this private school, but then when it came time that they didn't have any higher grades yet in that school because it was new, I had to go back into the public system, and I had no friends. All of my friends were gone, and I felt very uncomfortable going back into ninth grade at the very end of junior high, and everyone's already made their friends and their groups and their cliques, and I had nobody to connect with, and I started feeling rather lonely. And so these characters that I had been drawing for years, in a way, became my friends, as I focused on the stories that I was going to tell about them.
That's amazing. I remember you telling me how this story, because getting into school, going to a new place is always a scary thing to do, especially with all the challenges that you mentioned. I love that you threw out the word cliques, because holy cow, isn't that so relatable? We all know what it was like dealing with cliques in high school, junior, any school.
Oh, yeah. Experience. Well, and it continued into high school with, again, another change and new people. And it was just, it was more of the same that I just decided to keep writing. And then I found one really good friend, and we're still friends today and in encourage each other in our writing. She's like my writing buddy.
That is so cool how this story, it in essence, kind of bridged that gap. Like you were going through this moment in your life where you were looking for people you wanted to befriend, that you wanted to have in your life, but there was that barrier. And in a way, this writing helped you bridge the gap, and you found friends through this, right?
Yeah. Yep. Really, really good friend.
Robbie's more familiar with your work than I am. So are these characters that you're talking about actually in the book that you're publishing now? Or is that a different set of characters?
These characters are the ones that I started drawing. It was from the dreams. I started drawing the characters. And then just recently, I've redrawn all of the characters. I'm still working on all of them, but I've been redrawing these characters to bring them into a renewed sense of life since I did all of the writing. Like, I'm ready to give you a permanent face and a permanent look.
So how long have you been working on this book, if you don't mind me asking?
This particular book series has been a 12-year process.
Wow.
Book one was written in 2009 to 2010. So yeah, 12 years since I started this series.
That requires a lot of dedication to continue telling the story and perfecting it. You know, what would you say is what kept you going to keep writing the story after all these years?
Oh, the story is too exciting. I can't step away from it. Truly.
That's like, great.
I thought I had finished the series back, I think it was 2 years ago. I thought I had finished it, but then I had another one of those dreams, those darn dreams that just throw me off my rocker. And they said, nope, you've got another story. And it goes right here in the timeline. And so I actually wrote another book in this series, smack dab in the middle, within 3.5 months. It was all out. It was ready to be told.
So you get all of your ideas through night dreams. Do you have daydreams at all? Or is this like all night dreams that you do this in?
It's all night. I used to sleepwalk and sleep talk.
Whoa.
And like, it would be very real to me when I'm experiencing these scenes. If it's a pretty intense scene that's scary and has something that happens to the character, I'll have like that falling jump that you get when you feel like you've fallen off a cliff and wake up
I've
to
had that.
Yep. Like when the character gets like stabbed or something, I'm like, and I'll jump and wake up. And then I go back to sleep and it picks back up before that happens. And the character That's changes crazy. Their reaction so that they don't get the same outcome until the scene feels right. And it is really, really interesting.
And you actually remember all of it.
Oh, yes. Because
that's crazy.
So I have a photographic memory. And it's how I passed my civics class. Don't tell my teachers. I just stared at the page long enough. And then during the test, I could close my eyes and reread it.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but
that's an amazing gift.
So every scene, I can picture it just as if I were standing in it. And it's a beautiful world that I just love. So I don't know, like I say the series is done, but I can't say for sure if something like that will happen again. Another book will say, hey, I want to be written. Like my villain's origin story wants to be written. It's on the back burner. I'm making it wait.
Now you sit right there. Don't go anywhere, story.
Yep. I got to focus. Right.
your writing. I've read some of your earlier books, and I'm going through this book right now that you're about to publish. And the thing that's amazed me more than anything else is how much your writing has changed over the last 10 years. It's so cool to see how, you know, your prose, your voice has evolved over time, your ability to describe scenes, your ability to create characters that are more relatable. And this is a process we all go through. You know, I think a lot of people or authors will say, like, you have to write at least 2 or 3 books before you can write the book you want to publish. Like, you gotta spit them out to find out what you need to work on.
I would say that's very true.
Yeah, I've experienced it too. It was in my third book that I realized you probably shouldn't write 9,000 word chapters. I was a little slow on the uptake there. But yeah, it is really cool. And the biggest fear and the biggest part to improving as a writer is exposure. And again, the biggest fear, the scariest part is exposure. And that was something you were able to do. You found the courage to start sharing. And I was wondering if you could tell us, like, how was that experience? How did you do that?
Oh, it was terrifying. as is sharing something as personal as your own book that you've written. And you're putting yourself out there very vulnerable and wondering if people are going to judge you. But I learned about a group, a beta group on Facebook, and I started reaching out. And at first I observed how people would ask for betas for like a year. That's how long it took me to overcome this, just asking for someone to read my work and give me feedback. It took me a year to get over that.
Wow.
And then once I did, and I sent it out and it came back bleeding. It was all marked up in red and they had comment after comment. It took me hours to go through it. And not even halfway through it, I'm starting to feel destroyed. And they're just marking out all of these things that were wrong, like inconsistencies, or this is a plot hole, or you didn't address this, or remember that. It kind of fell out of the back of your mind, which can happen with me when I'm just writing off wing, because I don't plot anything when I write. I just sit down with that scene in mind. I find some music that fits the mood, and then I just sit and I write. And goodness, like, reaching for betas was hard. And when I got that feedback, there was a part of me that just wanted to say, nope, I'm done. I'm just going to keep this for myself and I will enjoy it as is. But then the other part of me said, no, you can make this better. And taking their feedback, you take what is good, and fishing out what is good and needed for your book versus what is just their opinion, can be difficult. And I learned that through several revisions. This first book went over 9 major revisions, and 2 sub revisions.
Wow.
So I've put a lot into this, and by major revisions, let's say the last major revision I did on this book that's about to come out was, I didn't realize none of my other betas had said this, which is why you want to keep sending it to betas, because no beta is the same. The way that their opinions, what they catch, it's all going to be different. And one of the last betas I sent it to gave me the feedback, hey, you know your stuff's written in passive voice, right? And I went, what's passive voice? Oh, crap. This is not good. When I researched what passive voice was and how bad it was for a fantasy book to go out with passive voice, I was like, oh no, this is bad. And so I rewrote it and did that major revision, changing it from passive into active voice. And already I could see such a huge difference and wondering, why didn't I know this earlier on? It's amazing. But But overcoming that fear helped me improve my writing in leaps and bounds.
I think all of us can share in that moment where it's like, well, I've been writing for a long time and how did I miss that this is something that I did? I've written 3 books. How did I get here? You know, it's crazy. It's definitely something we as writers, storytellers unanimously share in, right?
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people, when they start telling their stories and they start exposing their stories, that have a similar experience. You know, they put it out there for the universe to see. And it's difficult to remember that very rarely. In fact, I've yet to meet a person where the first iteration of whatever they put out there was a huge success. You know, there's always, especially in the beginning, things that have to be worked out. And usually it's that first exposure. You know, you could have been writing for a very long time, but it's not until it's been exposed that you really start to progress in a certain direction. But that demotivation, because it's one, overcoming the fear, and then it's two, continuing. You know, some people will say, oh, the hardest part is getting started. But for a lot of people, getting started is easy. It's consistency. It's to keep going. So I kind of want to throw you a curveball here, but if you could create 3 steps, what would you say are the 3 steps to keep going after someone has destroyed your work?
I would say just to remind yourself that your work is worth it to you. So it's worth it to someone else. And everyone is a critic, as we well know, but there are other people that will enjoy your work as much as you do, sometimes even more. And
that's great.
I would say if you keep that in mind, you can overcome almost any point in the process where you feel downwinded and disheartened, or you feel like this is just time to put in the towel and throw it in. But I would say that is the biggest thing that kept me going, is it's worth it to me. It's going to be worth it to someone else. Secondly, oh goodness, find something fun, something that gets you in the mood to enjoy your own work. For me, it's music. I absolutely love theatrical trailer music and how epic it can make my writing feel and gets me into my world and gets me excited for it. It opens up my scenes and it just adds an energy and just makes me happy. Find something that makes you happy, that makes you want to work on your work. And 3, goodness, this is a little hard. Because I don't need very much to keep going, because I just love my work so much that it's fun for me. this is like my permanent hobby.
So I guess that's what it is. Make it fun and make it fun.
Yeah. You enjoy it, just like Sarah was saying. Make it fun.
Well, I love that. Number one, remember that. Sorry, there was a screaming kid. Number one, remember this is, you know, make it for you. This is your book. This is your story. You're your own best audience, essentially, for this. If you like it, I love what you said. If you like it, someone else out there is going to like it too. Mm-hmm. And then number 2, music. And then number 3, make it fun. Just like find what makes it fun for you. Create it a lifelong hobby. Sharon, wow, thank you for sharing that wisdom for us. I know me personally, I just got a lot out of that. I mean, I know I'm going to be using those steps going forward to help me stay motivated. And especially when my first story gets absolutely obliterated when I expose it to people, as I'm sure is going to happen.
It happens to everyone.
Yeah, it happens to us all. I remember I had a teacher when I was learning Spanish. And they said that statistically speaking, you have to fail a certain number of times. It's like you have to make, you know, 1,000, 2,000 mistakes, or like, I don't know what it was. It was a huge number. It was like thousands and thousands of mistakes before you ever become fluent in a language. And the whole point is like, just start failing now. Just get all the mistakes out of the way. Don't be afraid to talk to people and screw up.
Because that's probably why I can't speak any languages.
It is kind of funny when people like will correct you, like, oh, like that was, it's not pronounced this way, or oh, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, great. Take that one off the list. one more knocked out. So it's such a good principle. Thank you, Sharon. But I think we've talked enough about all this great stuff. We could keep going. But let's talk about your book, Sharon. Your book, you're going to publish this. When's the due date? When is this sucker coming out?
It is coming out June 9th. So very soon.
8 days from the time of this recording.
It's exciting.
Therefore, you probably need to get this up before that.
I'm going to have this edited so fast. Wow, that's amazing. What was the big inspiration? I know you said dreams. It was a dream that inspired the whole series. Was it a dream that inspired this book?
Yes. Yes. There was a dream that led into and inspired each book in the series.
So
every book. Wow.
Yes.
What was the name of the book and where can we find it?
The name is The Gift of Marmadon. And you're going to be able to find it on Amazon. Currently, it is only on Amazon. It'll be in Kindle ebook or paperback.
And because you've talked about previous books, is this a standalone or would it be beneficial to read what comes before?
This is the first in the series. And there will be several after. Their book 2 will be coming sometime this winter.
And what's the genre? Are you aiming for the style?
Yeah, this is an epic fantasy, and the aim is new adult and young adult. And I know not many books try to gear towards two different audiences, but mm-hmm. I think the way that I have written this, it is enjoyable for both, and it is clean enough for younger people.
I can say I, as an adult, I'm enjoying it. It's a fun ride. You've created really interesting characters. Do you want to talk about what's the overall theme of this story? What is this adventure?
Do we get any sneak peeks?
So the main character, Aaron. So Aaron Ode, if anyone wants to know how to say the last name, it is Ode. He is a farm boy. I know it's cliche, but hang in there.
Some of the best stories have farm boys, so it's
good. They do. They all start with
The Princess Bride, for starters.
Like the calm, humble little farm boy that isn't expecting to have all of this responsibility put on his shoulders. And a lot of what his life is going to be has actually been hidden from him. He knows about the person that carries this burden, but he does not know it is himself until you get into the story. The characters have personality traits similar to my own in challenges that they've overcome. So like Aaron, you noted that as you were reading, you really felt Aaron's fear of change, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that in large part was my own fear manifesting through this character. I fear change, and a lot of us do. So I feel like it is a good connection point for a lot of people because there are things that are scary for all of us, but we must find courage. And Aaron is able to do this. And you get to enjoy how he overcomes this fear and change in his life throughout at least book 1, 2, and 3. I won't say beyond that.
I think one of the most impressive qualities anyone can have is we all exist in a natural state, something that's kind of intrinsic to who we are as a person, and going against the natural flow to become more. And I think that's what I'm already detecting in this character. And what impresses me about him, because it's a quality that I admire in a lot of people in my own life and out there in the world at large. Now, I know remind me the name of the other character, Sharon, the female lead of the story.
Kaylee Zara. Right. Yeah, she is the princess of Marmada.
Ooh. So expound on this. Who is this Kaylee character? What are her fears? What's her challenges?
So, all I can give you is what is revealed in the blurb.
Okay.
But Kaylee Zara wishes nothing more than for her father to be the loving man he once was. And her world shatters as these events unfold, and it does not play out how she had planned. She is aiming to find a redeeming moment or something in her father that she can hold on to and turn things around while she is fulfilling his wishes. So she's an interesting character.
That's so sweet, though. She's like, she's such a daddy's girl, just wants to have her dad back.
Oh, goodness. Yes. as my own little girl is a daddy's girl.
That's so adorable.
And so she holds on to this, like her inner hopes. She's holding throughout the book this hope for her father, while seeing everything kind of fall apart. And Aaron's overcoming this fear of the change. And I can't reveal too much, guys.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
So this book, this world, at the end of the book, what are you hoping people will take away from your story?
Adventure. I want everyone to go on an adventure, to enjoy this epic fantasy, this exciting, thrilling ride that is these characters' lives, to really feel how their world is to them, through them, and that there is always hope at the end. There is always courage to overcome, and the light at the end of the tunnel may be far away, but it is still there.
Wow, that is so appropriate to everything we've talked about in this interview. That's so spot on. Well, Sharon, is there anything else you want to share with us about the story? Like anything else we should know?
Well, I will quote Kaylee Zara in that courage does not mean there is no fear. No, it is the power inside to overcome it.
Ooh, wow. That's
really nice.
I just got goosebumps. That's great. Wow, Sharon.
I can't wait till you get that part in the book.
I was going to say, once I read to it, I'm so excited. I've got to say, guys, as I've been reading it, I've been loving this story. It really is a page turner. You have got to check this book out. We are going to put down a link so you can contact Sharon if you have any questions about her book. And we'll be sure to include all the information so you can find it on Amazon. Don't wait. Don't quite close the podcast yet. Wait till we finish. And then right after that, hop on Amazon, check out this book. It's going to be so awesome.
I should not have interrupted you.
No, I was done.
I was just thinking that if you get this posted before that, will there be a pre-order?
Yep. The Kindle ebook, Amazon will let me do a pre-order for the ebook. The paperback will not have a pre-order until it won't have a pre-order. I have to click publish and then it goes live.
Sharon, you had mentioned to me before the Facebook group. Can you expound on that and how people can get into it?
Yes. So as I was doing revisions for the book, there were scenes that I had to cut. There was memories in these characters' lives I had to take out because I wanted the pace to keep and be consistent. So all of this content that I hold near and dear, I wanted to share with my readers. I wanted them to enjoy and experience these characters to the fullest. I want them to be able to understand them and to know their history. So I have created a Facebook group called O Generations. And right now the title tag says The Gift of Marmadon, because that is the current book. But it will be O Generations. If you go to, it's www.facebook.com/groups/AODH Generations. That's it. And you can go there and you can join the group if you want to be on the in every time I post. Thursdays are the main post days, and I post these background segments is what I'm calling them, because they are background moments or scenes that were not in the book anymore. And you get to read about these characters. I've drawn concept art. You get to see what the characters look like in my mind, and scenes, and learn about the world and the towns and cities. And it's really quite fun for me to be able to share all of this with you.
Well, I, as one who loves to consume stories, loves all the extra content, like getting the whole package. It's like a reader's buffet. That's great. Excellent. Thank you, Sharon. I can't wait for all of us to get to enjoy that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And Sharon, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and joining us. We really enjoyed the wisdom, the stories, the experience. I know I myself have taken away a lot from this. And I'm excited to read all the stories that you're going to be telling us in the future. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Well, and thank all that you. Have. Thank you for having me.
Great, guys. Thank you for joining us. As always, we just can't wait to see what you make. We hope you will sit down. If you're doing art, if you're developing a video game, if you're writing, be storytellers. Take a second to tell a story and share it with those around you. You know, if you're wondering how to find the motivation, just follow Sharon's tips. You know, there is a way around it. And guys, if you're interested in following us more on Creators Playbook, we post once a week, and you can find us on Twitter via Creators PB Pod. Or on Facebook by just looking up Creators Playbook. Thank you so much, guys. Sharon, thank you again, and we'll see you guys next week.
Creators Playbook is a Talea Studios production. If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at contact@creatorsplaybook.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We cannot wait to see what you make.